Welcome to episode 66 of Two Larrys and a Mic. I'm Larry Doughty.
I'm Larry Bly. How you doing?
I'm great. And
oh, it appears as though Mike has decided to become a beet farmer. Yeah. You can hear him digging and chopping away, burying what appears to be parts of something. That's interesting. Oh, it seems to be parts of a Beats headphone. He says he knows they sell for anywhere from $199 to $300, those Beats. So he's hoping for a great crop and lots of profits.
Well, they sounded good up to this point.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes.
We need to talk to Mike about that.
Mm-hmm.
Send him down to the Roanoke City Market.
If indeed you can talk to Mike about it.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And he doesn't seem to have much to say in return, by the way.
In episode 66, we're going to be talking about the songs that say summer.
Oh, wow.
Even though the temperatures we've been experiencing haven't exactly been summer.
Well, I don't know. It's getting ready to heat up again. But here's the thing. It heats up and then it gets cold again.
Yeah, no.
Over and over again.
It's. I mean, by now, we've usually hit 90 degrees.
No.
But not necessarily much, the case. So. By the way, I guess some huge news for fans of the Fab Four this week. Paul McCartney says the Beatles are releasing a new last song this year.
Well, how can that be, Mr. Dowd? There'll only be two of them left.
Well, thanks to AI, they are able to put the finishing touches on a John Lennon demo. And McCartney, now 80, told the BBC that the technology was used to separate, this just fascinates me, was used to separate the Beatles' voices from background sounds during the making of director Peter Jackson's 2021 documentary, The Beatles Get Back.
That's amazing.
And the new song is set to be released later this year. McCartney, he didn't reveal which demo had been re-recorded, but the legendary musician has long spoken about a desire to finish a song called Now and Then.
It was a demo tape, by the way, on cassette that came via Yoko Ono.
Yep.
Did you know that?
This was apparently...
See, I do keep up on
Well,
things.
Good for you.
I try to keep up.
This was apparently written by Lennon 2 years before his death in 1980. So.
I understand, by the way, that I've been told by the A1 people.
Yeah.
AI people. A1 people are people that make the steak sauce.
they're probably talking to you too, aren't they?
Talking to me. Now I've confused myself. The A1?
AI people.
Have said that they're working on a program to replace you and me. And they said they didn't think it'd be all that difficult. So
I don't know if we follow Paul McCartney or do we follow Sammy Oakey.
I have no idea. They're one and the
both
same.
Both will know it as it happens.
One
so.
And the same, yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to touch on that before we get further into our podcast here. You ready to take a look at birthdays?
Oh, yeah, let's take a word. No, let's do that. The birthday band, by the way, is not here today. They're showing solidarity with the writers' strike.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Which is really odd, Larry, because most of the musicians in our band can neither read nor write. That's the way it goes.
Well, fine.
So they're
not
here.
You know the way the birthday tune goes.
Yes.
Happy birthday wishes to Stevie Nicks, turned 75 recently. Lenny Kravitz, 59.
That is one talented man, that is.
Oh, man, yeah. Singer Hank Williams Jr., 74. Lauryn Hill turned 48. Gladys Knight celebrated number 79 recently. John Fogerty turned 78. Kylie Minogue, she's in her 50s. Melanie Brown, Scary Spice of the Spice Girls, 48.
Scary Spice,
48. Pat Boone turned 89 recently. And Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones, 76. You got a handful?
Kenny G, you remember him?
I remember him.
67, still has no last name.
Just a G.
That's right. Singer Tom Jones. I love me some Tom Jones.
Oh,
that man's something. 83 years old. That's hard to believe. Boz Scaggs, whom I adore, 79. Country star Lee Brace is 44. Boy George is 62, which brings up the question, can you still be a boy at 62?
Apparently George can.
Okay. There's Kid Rock, and he's...
That's right. He's still a kid.
He's in his 30s, isn't he? Or something like that. Rapper actor Ice Cube is 54. 74, he's still cool.
Yeah.
So those are the birthdays, boys and girls.
There you go. Hey, I got some history makers for you from music. Deep Purple released their song Smoke on the Water on May 26, 73.
Oh, my.
Back June 8th of 1967, Procol Harum hit number one on the UK charts.
A Lighter Shade of Pale.
That was the song.
What a song.
Survivor released Eye of the Tiger on June 8th, 1982.
That is.
Paul McCartney and Wings, their song Band on the Run, went to number one on the U.S. singles chart. June 8th, 1974. Rolling Stones releasing their 16th album, Some Girls, on June 9th, 78. Eagles releasing One of These Nights, June 10th, 1975. Talk about a great album.
What is it? I'm sorry, I was
One
out.
One of These Nights.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah.
True.
And Billy Joel, his album Glass Houses, started a six-week run at number one on the U.S. albums charts, June 14th, 1980.
That's all very interesting stuff, great. Mr. D.
All right, you ready to tackle some songs that say summer?
Summer. Yeah, let's go ahead. Mr. Blue Sky, what does that have to do with summer?
It's just a happy song.
Oh, okay.
In summer, don't you want to see a blue sky?
I noticed it not on this list is Summertime, Summertime, Summertime.
I forgot about that.
By the Jamies.
Yeah, that's not on this list. Of course, in the summertime, Mongo Jerry. I guess that would kind of be the
thing. That's one of the better ones. Yeah.
Oh,
no. Hot Fun in the Summertime by Sly and the Family Stone. 1969 song. What a great song. I still love it to this day. Still crank it up and sing along.
I get it. How about John and Mark Sebastian? They did a song with Love and Spoonful called Summer in the City.
1966. That was a big one, too.
And that possibly was just genius lyrics, any way you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fifth song to break the top 10 in the U.S. for them.
Hmm.
And their only song to hit number one.
Wow.
Summer in the City. But think about this. I don't think there are too many songs, and you can correct me here if I'm wrong, which I typically am, but there are not too many songs that added sound effects in their song.
Nervous Norvis did.
That's true.
Transfusion. He had a wreck every 5 seconds on that song.
But apparently in Summer in the City.
Well, I'll tell you another one. Dock of the Bay. Dock of the Bay. They added the lapping of the water.
The sound of the water. Yeah. Hitting the shore. But apparently they use sound effects to make up car horns and a pneumatic drill to mimic the sounds of the city.
By the way, Otis Redding, when he heard that song, Dock of the Bay, which he wrote and sang.
Yeah.
And they added the sound effect later. Yeah. He did not like that.
Really?
And they said, no, we think we're going to keep it. We think it adds something to it. And eventually he got so he liked it an awful lot. How he performed that in live person, I have no idea. But anyway.
Well, that's true.
Anything that says summer would be school being out. School's out. Alice Cooper, 1972. What a great song that was.
But that was the only single from Alice Cooper's fifth album. Hmm. And according to Wikipedia, and you know they're always right, the Wikipedia, they say that Alice Cooper was once asked, what's the greatest 3 minutes of your life?
Yeah.
His response, one in Christmas morning, opening presents, and the other is the last day of school.
I always like the last day of school myself, to be honest with you. Under the Boardwalk. Boy, is that a summer song or what? The Drifters, 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, it just makes you smile when you listen to it.
You're right.
There was Summer Nights by Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta. And what song did that come, what movie came from that? 78.
Summer. Greece.
Look at your hair. Grease. Grease is the word. Grease is the word. It was Robert Stigwood produced in 1978. It wasn't sure it was going to be a big movie, but Stigwood was riding high back in those days because he had the other little group called the Bee Gees.
Mm-hmm.
Soundtrack album was the second best-selling album of 1978. and received 5 Golden Globe nominations.
And if you think about it, I guess John Travolta is still making money kind of off that song because he's doing an ad for T-Mobile.
Yeah. And they asked Olivia Newton-John if she thought that was ever going to be a big movie when she was making it.
Grease?
Yeah.
I don't think I had any idea that it would still be popular. And, even, you know, you're hoping, of course, but I'd made other musicals that weren't so successful, so I wasn't really sure of anything. But we had a great time. I mean, the energy was real, and we had a fantastic time making it.
It's hard to believe that there would be a question about that today in retrospect, right?
True. I miss so much of Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, I do, too. I really love that woman.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Walking in Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves.
Mm-hmm.
Surf City, Jan and Dean. Excuse me. Of course, Margaritaville, Cheeseburger in Paradise. Two songs that just elicit memories of summer. Mm-hmm. Summer's Past, Jimmy Buffett. Saturday in the Park, Chicago, 1972.
Yeah.
Summer Rain, Johnny Rivers, goes all the way back to 68, and Summer Wind, Frank Sinatra, 1966, just when old Lair was getting in the radio business, this old Lair.
How about the itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini?
Well, I thought it was right small.
Wonder what Brian Hyland was thinking when he came up with a title like that,
he was thinking?
Well, there you go. A couple of songs that stand out for summer. Martha and the Vandellas, and then Linda Ronstadt bringing it back. That is Love is Like a Heat Wave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves. Great song.
Sunny Afternoon, The Kinks. A great song. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the mid-60s, I think, as I recall. Summer Song by Chad and Jeremy. 64 was the year for that. Summer of 69, Brian Adams, oddly enough, didn't do it in the summer of 69. He did it in the summer of 85. You know, I think that summer songs sort of stick with us, don't they?
Oh, yes.
More than winter songs do.
Yeah, absolutely. How about Suddenly Last Summer from the Motels?
Never remember that one at all.
August of 83.
I remember them when they were downgraded from hotels to motels.
That was one of my favorite songs.
No, wait a minute.
Well,
Hot Stuff. Oh, I get it. Hot Stuff. Summer. Okay. Donna Summer. Some of these are a little stretched, but they always are. Why would Let's Twist Again, Chubby Checker be on this? What does twisting have to do with summer?
I get it was popular at Hops.
Okay. It was popular.
I don't know.
Actually, it was popular several times.
Well, that's true.
He made an entire living almost on that one song.
How about Marvin Gaye?
Got to Give It Up. What does that have to do with summer?
Well,
Summertime by Sam Cooke. Let's get back to something that makes some sense.
Mm-hmm.
Summer Breeze by Seals and Crofts.
Yeah.
You can tell which one was Seals because he always had fish in his mouth. Summer by War, 1976. Uh-huh. And Boys of Summer by Don Henley, 84. That's a good one.
Beach Baby. Remember that? First Class?
I do.
Beach Baby came out in May of 74.
That's a song that should have been done by the Beach Boys.
Well, you would think so,
but maybe it would have been too confusing for disc jockeys to say, that was Beach Baby by the Beach Boys, ladies and gentlemen.
But it was a husband and wife team of John Carter and Jill Shakespeare.
I never knew that.
Wrote the song for the British band First Class. Hmm. Ironically, the song was written in East Sheen, Southwest London.
What?
And as you can see, that it's quite a ways from a beach. But it was recorded in London in December of 73.
Never heard of East Sheen anywhere. Summertime by Ella Fitzgerald is a real oldie but goodie. And Summertime Blues by Eddie Cochran goes way back.
Mm-hmm.
Lazy, crazy, hazy, nutty
cloudy
days of summer. Partly cloudy days of summer. Nat King Cole.
What a wonderful
song.
And I
remember how we were just mortified that he was singing about pretzels and beer on television. I don't think my whole family went into shock over that one.
I do remember Vacation.
Well, the Go-Go's?
Yeah.
1981.
Yeah. Yep.
Cruel Summer, I don't remember. Banana Nama Rama Dam Bing Dong, 83.
Yeah.
Bananarama, right?
Bananarama.
Bananarama.
Yeah. Or it could be Bananarama.
Bananarama Ding Dong. Walking in Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves, that was a big hit in 1983.
Mm-hmm. How about The Endless Summer Nights, Richard Marx? Mm,
I loved Richard Marx.
Had a chance to interview him one time. Great interview.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
He was a great interview.
Is there anyone you haven't interviewed yet?
Yeah, a few people.
Oh, quick, there's a homeless person going past out there. Why don't you grab a mic and go out and talk to that person? It's summer. I don't remember.
I don't remember that either.
The Pips, I have no idea.
That came out in 69.
Lovely Day, Bill Withers. That's a stretch, but I love that song.
That is just...
Oh, and it just makes you feel good, even while it's summer, spring, winter,
or
fall.
I don't think it was that big of a hit when it first came out.
It wasn't. In fact, a couple of years ago, I just kind of came across it somewhere, and I went, well, that is just a wonderful song. How did that escape me? I don't think I ever played it.
I get you.
Palisades Park, you know, that evokes all sorts of memories of being outdoors at, you know, the big Palisades Park and all those other things.
Well, I always think of Lakeside.
Yeah. Poison Ivy, coasters. Now, if you spend too much time out there, you know, pulling stuff off the fences, you will get the Poison Ivy.
Yep.
I got Poison Ivy places I didn't even know I had 7 or 8 years ago. I had to go to a doctor. And he says, you got it where? Cruisin', Smokey Robinson.
Great song.
Yeah, that's
great,
a good song.
Great song.
And Stone Soul Picnic.
I always think of summer when I hear that. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a Fifth Dimension song.
That's true.
Feel good.
Yep.
Now, here's one that I have a great big question mark.
Okay, go.
Mr. Jaws by Dickie Goodman. I didn't even know Dickie Goodman was still alive in 1975. Yes. What does that have to do with anything?
Remember how they would take clips from songs?
Right.
And, of course, that was, I guess, the summer of 75 was probably the year Jaws came out.
Oh, okay. That makes sense now.
And let's not forget Wipeout from The Ventures.
Great song.
So.
You ready for a pop quiz?
I'm ready.
Okay. Pop, I said quiz, because, you know, it's so important that we have a pop quiz.
Right.
All right. That's enough. You don't need to do that again. Larry,
yes.
You get nothing if you can answer this. And I bet you can't, because I don't think you were old enough to remember this guy.
Oh, okay.
Was there ever a talk show host named Joe Pine who had a wooden leg?
You know, it's so bizarre, I would say yes.
Well, first of all, Joe Pine spelled his name P-Y-N-E.
Okay.
So it wasn't P-I-N-E, like all a right. pine tree.
Okay.
There was. Joe Pine was on Metro Media TV, a national syndication, was generally thought to be, along with Mike Wallace, among the first, if not the first, talk show host to attack his guests and the audience, too, if he disagreed with them.
Oh, okay.
We used to watch him on WTTG Channel 5 in Washington. They were one of those. Mm-hmm. They were a Metro Media channel back in those days. And he was nationally seen in syndication. They just literally sent tapes around to the stations. That's what they did in those days.
Oh, my.
He was a real nasty on-air presence. And one of his guests in the early 60s, I have no idea why, was a very young Frank Zappa, of all people.
Oh, boy.
Don't know why or even why he would agree to appear on this nasty show.
Uh-huh.
This was before Jerry Springer. I mean, he would get mad at the audience and have people kicked out of his audience, taken out of the studio. Anyway, at the beginning of the interview with Zappa, Joe Pine looks at Zappa and says, "Well, I see you have that long hair. Does that make you a girl?" And Zappa, without missing a beat, says to him, "Well, I see you have a wooden leg. Does that make you a table?" One of the better comebacks ever, in my opinion. By the way, in 1943, during a Japanese bombing attack, he was wounded. Not Zappa was not, fortunately, but Joe Biden was.
Yeah.
In the left knee, he earned a Purple Heart as a result of his injuries. He lost the lower part of that leg later due to a rare form of cancer.
Oh, wow.
Which is probably why he was pretty grumpy most of the time.
Well, grumpy. I hear you.
He was nasty, I will tell you that. And you know what? We couldn't wait to watch him because we had never seen anything like that on TV before, ever. Who knew that we would have the likes of Jerry Springer and all those people come along later on?
Yeah,
it would be nothing comparison.
That's true.
Nothing at all.
We have a few obits.
We do. We have a couple of deaths. Route 66 star George Maharis has died. He was 94. Route 66, by the way, I don't even remember.
You just saved that because this is episode 66.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Route 66 was that rare series at the time that was, I did not know this, filmed on location up and down Route 60. They actually went on location, filming, moving to a new town and city for each episode. It featured as guest stars future stars, including Robert Redford, James Caan, Robert Duvall, and Alan Alda in some of their earlier roles. It spawned a, the reason I'm mentioning it here, because it spawned a great big instrumental hit composed by Nelson Riddle, the more familiar tune, Route 66 theme, which was a big hit top 40 record. By the way, Get Your Kicks on Route 66 was not connected to the series and was came down decades before that. So that's one death. You got any?
Cynthia Weil.
Oh, boy, that was a big loss.
Yeah, that really was.
She helped co-write so many songs, and she was writing them well into the 70s and 80s, by the way.
And, of course, she co-wrote with her husband, Barry Mann, and they wrote songs like You've Lost That Lovin' Feelin', On Broadway, Walking in the Rain, dozens of other hits. She passed away on June 2nd at the age of 82.
By the way, this just in for deaths.
Bert Freeman, noted animal trainer who passed away last week, was buried yesterday at Highland Park Cemetery. However, he was dug up by his wonder dog, Laddie, later in the day. He will be buried again tomorrow at sea.
That's just something I came across a while ago. I didn't know whether you would want to include that in the show or not. But so anyway, another death. This was a sad one. Singer Astrid Gilberto.
Who?
Astrid Gilberto has died at the age of 83, famous for one song only, A Girl from Ipanema. She sold more than 2 million records and won the Grammy in 1965 and didn't even want to sing. She just kind of waltzed into the studio, and her husband, Stan Getz, was producing some stuff, and he said, we got no singer for the song. Come up here to the microphone and see what you can do with it. She sang the song in a light, effectless style, as if she had already moved on to other matters. Getz Gilberto was her husband, record producer, and musician of note, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow.
Big song. Wonderful song.
Yeah.
Still love to hear it to this day. Pete Brown of the group Cream has died at the age of 82.
Oh, no.
He co-wrote two of their biggest hits in the 60s, White Room and Sunshine of Your Love.
Great, great songs.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, this just into our podcast newsroom, Larry.
Oh.
Well, because of inflation, rapper 50 Cent has had to upgrade his name to 54 Cent.
What?
Yes. Also, it's reported, by the way, that Lakeside Amusement Park has closed. You know, they had that big pool and those tilt-a-whirls, which should have been called a tilt-a-hurl, by the way. They closed a long time ago, maybe 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
Well, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder I had to wait so long to get on a ride. Oh, also, by the way, as to not to, in the very slightest way, offend anybody on our podcast.
Yes.
We will no longer play or refer to the following songs and groups. Are you ready for that?
Okay. All right.
Kind of a Drag.
Okay.
The Buckingham. Drag City, Jan and Dean. And Drag in the Line, Tommy James and Shonda. In fact, we don't even want to play the songs for fear that we might offend someone, so we're not going to do any of that, okay? Got something here from, do you remember Vern?
Hey, Vern, look what I found in my daddy's closet. You know, I bet you this is from the big one. You know, WW2. Boy, I bet them were some great times. I know, because I never miss Hogan's Heroes on WDBJ7. You know, with Schultz and Hogan and Commandant Clint. Hogan's Heroes. Weekdays on your hometown station. You know, Vern, this must be some kind of a cigarette lighter. I know nothing. I see nothing.
You remember those when they were
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember that guy's name.
It was a great campaign.
Jim Varney.
That was his name. Jim Varney.
Jim Varney. He's not with us anymore. You know, he became so popular. Not only did he do those and tons of commercials, he was a voiceover guy, he was on camera guy, he was so funny and comedic, but he also did several Disney films, if you recall. I know you've had to do production at radio stations, and so have I. Most of the mistakes that happen in those studios never get heard.
Well, there's a reason for that.
I know. The only thing you hear is a finished product.
Yes.
This is one I produced at my ad agency.
Okay.
See what else. Larry Bly blows a spot at System 4 Advertising. We've just purchased 25 1977 cars from a national rental company. All cars drastically reduced. Make a purchase for as much as $1,500 less than comparably priced new cars. LTDs, LTD2s, LTD2s,
But you got it in 30 seconds.
I got it in 30 seconds. You know, the problem with car commercials, and I did hundreds of them. Uh-huh. I bet you did a few, too.
Yeah.
Is they were always overwritten.
Yes.
So every, instead of 29 seconds, which is what they were supposed to
mm-hmm.
be,
mm-hmm.
they were usually written at 35 or 38 seconds.
Yes.
And you were expected to get all of that in there still in 27
yes.
or 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And TV, it had to be 27.
True.
So anyway, you're just sitting there and your head is ready to explode. You're trying to move your lips fast enough to get this thing done. So you get into something like that and then pricing and all sorts of stuff. It was
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. And we've done our share of commercials. I wanted to share this with you.
Oh, okay.
There were some ads recently from Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace I wanted to share with you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
One ad said, turkey for sale.
All right.
Partially eaten, only 8 days old, both drumsticks still intact.
Both.
Both.
Because nobody eats drumsticks.
$23 or best offer. I'm not making this up. Here's another one. Tombstone, standard gray, a goodbye for someone named Grady.
That's awful.
Wait a minute, one more.
Oh no, please. I'm begging you.
These are actually on Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. A Honda Civic, AM FM CD player, low miles, good condition, speaks Spanish.
And where were these?
Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace.
Okay. You want to hear a TV story?
I do.
Do we have time?
We do.
A few weeks ago, you told me about your worst interview of all time through the years.
Yeah.
One with Don McLean, who for some reason wasn't in the mood to be interviewed, so it didn't go so well. Is that
correct?
The way you would say it?
Yes.
Okay. Was it a matter that he just didn't want to answer your question?
I may have been the first one in the morning. I don't know.
Okay. I was reminded of one that I'll never forget.
Oh.
For nearly 20 years, I was the staff announcer for Blue Ridge Public Television.
Yeah. Yes.
It was an easy job. I didn't even go to the station to do this. They would send a month's worth of scripts over to my office, and I'd go into the agency's recording studio, the very one you're sitting in right now,
uh-huh.
except a previous location, and I'd do them on a reel-to-reel,
okay.
one after another, tonight at 7, tomorrow at 6 o'clock. That's all you do, you know, over and over again. So once in a while, I'd do a show promo, and that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, I was on call whenever they needed an on-air guy
mm-hmm.
to host a talking head show or
okay.
something like
okay.
that, whatever,
mm-hmm.
for which I got paid extra to be on camera.
Okay.
So, of course, I was always ready. So one day they called and asked me to host a show the following week, tape for later replay, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I put on my handy-dandy coat and tie, which I kept at the office, and I went over for what was usually a very simple task. Sit down, talk, get up, leave.
Got it.
Collect check. Mm-hmm. I asked what it would be, and they said, well, it'll be a couple of professors from a local community college promoting a new term and some new offerings at the college. And I said, oh, that certainly does sound riveting, doesn't it? So I arrived 15 minutes early, of course,
right.
Day of taping, and they were already seated on the set, these three rather stuffy-looking professors with their little coats and ties. I expected them to hand me some notes or questions or sort of give me like a direction for the show.
Oh, sure.
None were forthcoming.
Oh, no.
So after we went on the air, we introduced ourselves before we went on the air, and mm-hmm. I sat down, and we started taping. And the first thing out of my mouth was something like, we're here to chat with some of the professors of Dabney S. Lancaster Community College, and was promptly interrupted by a guy who said, it's Lancaster, not Lancaster.
Oh, no.
It's Lancaster. I beg your pardon, says I, and he repeats the name of the college, not Lancaster, Lancaster.
Lancaster. Okay.
So I made some feeble joke about getting the name wrong, and they just sat and looked at me. they were not amused. Then I asked some questions or another, and they just sat and looked at me again, and I'm getting really frustrated. So finally I says, look, you've come all the way over here from Clifton Forge to our studio to impart something to our audience, obviously. So why don't you pretend I'm not here and we're not on camera and just y'all just go ahead and have a little chat among yourselves. I says this on the air, hopefully getting across what you want to say.
Yeah.
And so they proceeded to do just that, having no problem ignoring me whatsoever. I sat there like a bump on a log, grinning and occasionally nodding my head in agreement from time to time, but saying absolutely nothing for the next 25 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
Now, I have no idea who the director was that day, but he or she should have stopped taping and gone down the hill to get Hall to get Barbara Lander or somebody else, who were really good on the air. More capable of handling on-the-air duties like that. Especially Barbara, she was smart and classy. But they didn't, and all I can say is they could have set a cardboard replica of me in a chair, and it would have accomplished just about as much. And I'm certain it was the most boring show ever aired on television. Legions of viewers must have fled to other channels immediately. A test pattern for 27 minutes would have been more compelling than this show. The station was much too kind not to mention to me what they must have said about me after I left on their way to the parking lot. And by the way, to this day, I have never been asked to speak to a graduating class at Dabney S. Lancaster Community College, and I wonder why. Oh, and postscript, last year, they completely changed the name of the college. So anyway, well, that's all I got. You got anything
else?
That's
all I got. Thank you so much for listening to episode 66 of Two Larrys and a Mike. If you like this episode, hit the subscribe button so you'll be notified when we have new episodes. You'll find Two Larrys and a Mike wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget to share this podcast with someone. Just click on the share button. See you next time for Two Larrys and a Mike. I'm Larry Doughty.
Larry Bly. And Mike is still planting beets. The headphones, beets. He is so dumb.
Oh, gosh. See you next time.